Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Please record your message.
Yes, I surfed. It was fun. Highly recommend it. And I got attacked today. Not what I expected. Six, maybe 8-inch perch that swam right into my lap while I was sitting on top of my surfboard, which was wild. I did not see that coming. Glad I got some action in my lap today. Talk to you later. Talk to you later. Talk to you later. Talk to you later.
Check, check, check. All right. I think we're recording now. That's great. You know, I recorded an intro and I didn't like the sound quality for some reason. And so I'm re-recording my intro. So this is a take two to the Midlife Surfer podcast, and I appreciate you joining me. My name is Jeff. I'm a small wave lover. I'm a Craigslist scroller. Craigslist market, by the way, it is a seller's market in surfboards. If you want to sell a surfboard, I read somewhere on a message board, June is the best time to sell a board, but 2020 is the best time to sell a board because there's a lot of surfers out there and shapers are impacted and the surf shops are having boards fly off the shelf. So check out Craigslist and scroll it if you're looking for a board. And I'm not saying there's a lot of boards out there, but if you want to sell a board, now would be the time. Trust me. Anyway, yeah, what did I say? I'm a Craigslist scroller, and I'm a mid-length ripper.
I'm a mid-length ripper.
6'8", 7'10", although I got to say, my Timber Surf Co. Mini Simmons, my 6'2 Mini Simmons, it's a fat, squatty board, about 48 liters. I think it's 22.5 by 2 7/8 thick. It's got a redwood deck, an 1/8-inch redwood. I guess you would call it a laminate, not a veneer. I mean, it's a thick piece of wood. I've seen the lumber in Ryan Lynch's shop. He's doing a good thing. You know, I'm not a huge environmentalist. I pick up litter. I want to keep the oceans clean. I want to keep our streets clean. But I don't obsess over it every day. I'm not sure Ryan does either, but one thing I am sure of is he too is concerned about the environment, and he puts his money where his mouth is. He makes a product that's going to last forever and have the most minimal impact possible. The guy sources as many environmentally friendly materials as possible. It's an EPS core, recycled foam. He uses bio-based resins. And like I said, reclaimed lumber, Santa Cruz Mountains. These are fallen trees. And he makes a beautiful board. This, and his cork bottom, by the way. Cork is a really sustainable wood. But this board is light. I mean, I don't know. I look at a wooden board. If you go to a site, timbersurfco.com, you'll peruse the boards. You'll think they're heavy. At least I did. Of course, you know, he'll build you a hollow core, really high-end board. This is his Splinter Series board that I have. EPS core, wrapped in wood. And the thing goes. I took it to some really small longboard spots and had a shortboard experience. Pumping down the line, turning. You know, the board feels light. As I said, it's strong as shit too. So, you know, if you're an EPS guy, I'm not an EPS guy. I'm not. I like polyurethane. But this board feels good. It's strong. Wood is strong. Good luck popping through wood, you know. Good luck putting heel dents on it. It doesn't take heel dents. It's both strong and light. What more can I say? Polyurethane boards, I prefer the feel of them, but not necessarily against this Timber Surf Co. I am definitely going to get another shape from Timber, probably a fish of some sort, but I promised myself I'm not going to buy any more boards in 2020, so maybe next spring or something like that, I'll treat myself. So anyway, timbersurfco.com. Your polyurethane board is nice too, but you know, when you're long and dead, it's still going to be sitting there at a landfill, and I don't think they decompose that well, and I think they're pretty toxic. So anyway, that's enough of that. What else? Oh, Lazy Surfer. Check that app out. Lazy Surfer will help you personalize your surfing experiences. Nick Peterson down in San Diego. San Diego, German for whale's vagina. Have you ever seen Anchorman? I know it's pretty cliche. So many people quote it, but damn, it's a good movie still. Anyway, watch Anchorman and then check out Lazy Surf, the Lazy Surfer app. Long and short of it is, you have a great time. Let's say you had a great time at Pacifica or North Cornwall, and you don't know what the conditions are. Maybe it was a high tide. Maybe it was west-northwest swell, and it was really small, and it was a high tide, and for whatever reason, you got out and surfed, and lo and behold, have you ever had those times where you did not expect much, and then you had, like, maybe among the more fun surf sessions you'll have all year? Well, if that's the case, you would want to record that session on the Lazy Surfer app. And the Lazy Surfer app would give you an update every time those conditions occur again, when the stars align. It's going to tell you. So it's a personalized surfing experience. Check it out. Nick Peterson's got a cool little surf comb, wax comb. It's got a little Futures Finbox screwdriver in there as well, too. And if you rate and review on the Apple iTunes app and say, hey, I like this pod, or I don't like this pod, but you got to leave a comment. Let me know you left a comment, and then email it to me at midlifesurfer@gmail.com. Let me know, hey, I just left a comment or a review. Give me your ship to address, and I'm going to hook you up with a Lazy Surfer wax comb or two. And then lastly, midlifesurfer.com. You know the great Adam Montiel on the Central Coast. He produces this show. It takes a little bit of time to slap it together. I will admit, this is a lo-fi podcast. I think that's part of its appeal. I'm talking into my phone right now. It's 7:02 on a Friday morning. I'm heading down to the Central Coast to make some sales calls. In fact, I say Central Coast here in California. That represents a San Luis Obispo area, Paso Robles, Morro Bay, Los Osos, Santa Maria, Arroyo Grande. Anyway, I'm on my way down there. And if you want to donate to the show, it's listener supported. We're going to start calling this show listener supported. MidlifeSurfer.com. You can click a spot called Buy Me a Coffee or Donate. Click the Donate button. That's right. It reroutes you to a little donation sensation application. Yeah, I freestyle rhyme too on this. Anyway, donate if you'd like. Thank you. Let's get to this quick interview. Actually, it's not too quick. I think it's 25, 30 minutes, and it's not really an interview. It's a conversation over some Modelo Chelados. Hooked up my buddy Jason. You remember Jason from the Baja episode? Plain and simple, a surf buddy. He's opinionated about surfboards and surf locations, surf spots. He's just opinionated. He has something to say. If you want to waste the next 25 minutes listening to a couple kooks talk surf, you come to the right place. Enjoy.
Well, opposing phone calls.
That's all right.
I'm ready.
Your levels sound good.
Yeah, it's good. I was wondering if the ocean...
The waves are annoying.
Yeah.
Well, it's a surf podcast, so they're just going to have to deal with it.
Are we on?
We're on right now.
Were we on for my phone call?
Last time Jason was on the podcast, we spoke in Mexico. We discussed my foot being cut on the reef. We discussed a not bad looking surfer out there. What was his name again? We discussed your naked surf. We had a great time. So it's been a while since Jason's been on, but you should go back in the archives if you haven't heard that, because you had a little buzz, and you're quite funny and easy to listen to. Yeah, right now, you might hear waves crashing behind, because where are we right now, Jason?
We're at 25th Avenue in Santa Cruz.
Yes.
At high tide, midday, no wind, panoramic ocean view on the shoreline here. I decided I really enjoyed giving a buzzed talk with you.
Yeah. And for that purpose, we picked up a couple Modelos.
Yeah.
So we need to get a buzz going before we really start talking. So.
Well, I'm running on like very light breakfast, no lunch.
And, oh, good.
Modelo Chelada Tamarindo Picante.
That's good Spanish. So you went surfing today and you went surfing yesterday. So you went surfing here at 26. And 26 is, it's a kind of a, it's a wave that jacks up. It lurches. It always has some velocity, a little weight behind it when it's working. You can get crushed out there. It's a fast wave and it's a pretty fun wave. Right now it looks really fun because the right's working and I hate going left.
Yeah,
right now it looks like, it looks pretty fun. You surfed here yesterday and you surfed this very right that we're looking at?
I did. Well, no, I surfed further south of it, like almost like midway between the stairs and the main parking lot.
Kind of wind and sea, would they call that?
No. I don't know what it's called.
Uh-huh.
It's just in between 26 and the parking lot.
Uh-huh.
Wind and sea, and I got it, like, I was not at wind and sea, but I got it before low tide. It was dropping, but it was... The water was just up on the rocks, and that's usually an indicator that you're at about the right time. If the water's below the rocks, you're probably even better off. It seems to like low tide, but
yeah,
there's enough swell right now that everything in town's working and everyone's surfing, and I got really humbled last weekend. It was much bigger and unruly, and my arms were out of shape.
Right. Now, this very recording may air probably in a couple weeks, but when you refer to last week, you're talking about a south southwest that moved into town, or was it a west northwest?
There was a combo.
Yes.
So there was a south and there was our first winter north.
Yes.
And I decided to go to Lane with my friend, or our mutual friend Jason, early, so it was dark and there were just people pouring in because it had been a month and a half of flat waves.
Right, when you say the Lane, it's world famous Steamer Lane. Locally, people call it the Lane.
And we paddled for 2 hours and neither one of us surfed.
You didn't get a single wave?
No, I had some opportunities. Some gems. And I saw some people get some good waves. There were all different types of boards out. It has all different types of people getting frothy.
Yep.
I saw everything from wave storms to guns. You were just telling me you saw footage of Collins on a 510.
Yeah, Ken Skindog Collins, retired now, but Mavericks Charger. He's a Santa Cruz local. Funny guy, funny follow. Kind of an interesting guy because, like, politically, you know, like, I know you got to, like, pigeonhole everybody if you believe this, and that means you got to accept these all these other, you know, tenants. But he's all over the place. Like, he'll shame you for not wearing a mask in public. But at the same time, you'll talk about, like, liberal Santa Cruz, you know, and their policies with homeless and stuff. So it's kind of refreshing, actually, just to see interesting takes in that regard. So he's very opinionated. And his latest post he posted is, like, yeah, it's like a 5'8 loss. It said, he said, they told, I thought it would be too many liters. It's like a 33-liter board. But it wasn't. It worked perfectly. And a footage of him, you know, taking off at Middle Peak there and just absolutely freaking crushing it, just zigzagging up and down these 10-foot faces, you know, carbon back. You weren't doing any of that. What board did you take out there that day?
I retired the board I took out. So I bought this 7-foot 3¼ by 22¼ Roger Hines Assassin used on Craigslist, thinking it would be a good...
Yeah.
It's heavier, it's poly, it's got kind of a 70s outline. Anyway, I was thinking that would be my step up, and I keep trying it on big days at Waddell. I tried it on a small day at my beach. It actually worked okay in the small stuff.
Right.
But it's just, it's too heavy. It's just, it's not a good shape. And I thought I wanted that paddle power because it was 10-foot faces at the Lane probably.
Right.
And there's a lot of current, and the swell is peaking, so lots of current. And the tide was coming up pretty high. It was going to be like a 4-foot tide.
Yep.
And it was already 3 by the time we got on it at 6 a.m., which is dark.
Right.
Anyway, I decided that it was really hard to get into waves. It was really hard to duck dive. And when I'm in big waves, the duck diving wears me out as much as anything else.
No doubt about it.
And then I don't have my arms for my pop-up. Yep. And I put on the COVID 10 since Mexico.
Did you put on 10 pounds since Mexico?
Just since Mexico.
Yeah.
But they come on and off pretty quick because I don't know why. I can shed and gain 10 pounds.
You practice the weight loss form of bulimia, I think.
Yeah. It's just, if I don't drink beer for a week, I drop 5 pounds.
Right.
So if I do 2 weeks off, I drop 10 pounds. And then what's happened is the waves went flat. I drank beer for 4 weeks, 5, 6 weeks straight.
You should note, too, you're a new father, not a new father, but rather you have a third son. You're the father of 3 boys now, and you have a newborn at home. So that was probably a reason you hadn't surfed in a while, too, right? You got a pregnant wife on the last leg. It's just...
Yeah, incoming.
And you kind of gain... Aren't you supposed to gain weight with... I never gain weight with my wife,
yeah.
But don't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're sort of trying to, like, baby your honey, you know? And she was really good about eating not too much ice cream and pizza, but...
Yeah.
At the very end there, boy, the ice cream and pizza maybe hit a little more than usual.
Hey, where do you stand on saying we're pregnant? The husband saying that.
No,
do you reject that?
I don't think I've ever said that.
Okay, good. That's correct answer.
That's super weird.
Would you say your struggle out there at the lane was on par with the pain that your wife went through giving
zero
birth?
No, zero chance of that. No, it checked my ego is all it did.
Yeah.
I realized I need to get back in shape, so I worked at it, and we went out for an afternoon session after that in some tiny waves. I took out your friend's fish that he...
Right.
Eric, right?
Yep.
Or is it Craig?
Eric. No, Eric. Eric sold a 6'4", is it? Source?
6'3".
6'3".
Glass in, beautiful dark
butterscotch
wood.
Butterscotch is the color.
Yeah. Butterscotch fish. Big butt crack.
Yeah. It's got cleavage.
There's so much board porn associated with that.
Right.
The photos of that board are just sexy.
They're super sexy.
You get her in your hands, she doesn't disappoint.
So you had the 7-foot Roger Hines board, which really actually
also looked, pretty.
Which looks fun. I kind of wish I gave it a go at least.
No.
How thick was it?
It was garbage. No, I mean,
but Roger Hines is a fantastic
beautiful
shaper.
Board. I loved having it between my legs. It's Garibaldi orange.
Garibaldi orange.
Really pretty lap, like just... Yeah, the craftsmanship was excellent. It felt sturdy, but it was just too much board for me.
What were the dimensions on it?
As I mentioned, in Mexico, my dimensions have gotten really narrow on what I like.
Okay.
So it was 7022. Oh, I already did this. I already did the dimensions. So anyway, so I've gone back and now I'm on a 6'8" by 22.25 by 3, 48-liter JS Psycho Nitro, and it's a swallowtail. And it's set up as a 5-fin. I tried it as a try as I'm rehabbing this week. Surf came in, and so I did 2 dawn patrols, one at Blacks, maybe, and then one at 26.
Right.
And then there I had an afternoon sesh at 26, and then I just did a rock view sesh. And I surfed all of that with the Psycho Nitro. And... I've connected with it. The first 2 sessions,
excellent.
It was very slippery.
Yeah.
It was as a try, which surprised me. I didn't think I would slip out.
Right.
And it's just different than the Lost Stretch RV, which is very similar dimensions. It's only 0.5 liter off. But the Lost RV has a rounded tail, stepped double wing round tail.
Right.
And this has a little swallow. And that means there's quite a bit more tail, which means it's a little squirrely, I guess.
More tail means squirreliness?
I don't know. The rails don't bite like
the Lost. I think there's something to that. I mean, think about like a pintail, right? That's for bigger, it's more hold.
Yeah.
And big waves, like all the guns have pintails because you don't want to be squirrely. You just want to be able to lock in. And and then a fish.
Some nut jobs ride swallowtail guns, which I don't
know.
Who? I don't know. Some nut jobs.
Sure.
There's some story on the web of Peter Mell riding somebody's swallowtail and being like, oh, yeah, works good.
But generally speaking, you're right. The narrower the tail, the less squirreliness of a board, I reckon.
Yes.
You could turn it. It's a little harder to turn, I guess, maybe.
Well, so I 100% agree with everything you said. And also that buzz is kicking in because I don't know where my thought went.
That's all right. But I want to go to your... before we depart from your Roger Hines orange board, I had a question. You sold it on Craigslist to a young lady?
Oh, yeah. That surprised me. Usually when I list things on Craigslist, I see somebody my size buying them. In fact, I did a Craigslist purge in preparation of the baby coming. I was like, I have 9 shortboards.
Yeah.
I need to reduce.
Yeah.
And I'm out of shape. Like, I don't need these hyper... So I got rid of my epoxy Proctors. Each of them, I sold them for $600.
Those are all customs, right?
One of them might have been $500. They're all customs. One was made for me.
Yeah.
Sold them with fins. They were nice boards. Whatever. Yeah. They were my nicest boards, but I just decided I'm not a ninja.
Right.
I'm closing in on this 6'8 theory.
Right, 6'8 seems to be
like
the length.
You, me, and Jason. Like that upper six.
You're definitely a more proficient surfer than me, but 6'8 I have found to be like the good balance of, you know, I've had, you know, you can go like 5'10 or 6'0 and then get a short, fat, you know, floaty bar of soap. But if you take that same volume and just stretch it out, you'd be able to pull in the rails a little bit. You know, the width is a little less. Mine's 21.5, and it just seems like the right kind of balance for quote unquote, damn it, shortboard. Last time I fell off a chair when we were doing our podcast. This time a beer fell off my knee. Shame on me for balancing it on my knee.
It's a good day.
So you sold your Roger Hines to a young lady.
And, oh yeah, and she's literally a sized lady, like not big at all.
Literally the next day, I'm a Craigslist scroller, as you know, and I'm scrolling, and I see your board on Craigslist, and I go, I was like, I think I texted you that morning. Hey, did you sell that board already? You go, yeah, $700 or $600, whatever. I go, it's a seller's market right now.
Oh,
and it is on
COVID,
Craigslist.
Everyone and their mother is surfing. Everyone's buying boards.
Shapers are like 8 weeks out, you know, at least. Everyone's into surfing for better or worse.
We need more sharks out there.
We do. We do. So then I see that same damn board being marketed on Craigslist a day later for $600, which is, was that what you sold it for?
Yeah.
So in other words, they took it out once and then decided it wasn't the
she
board.
She literally for them. Took it out once.
My theory is that she was trying to go shorter and then had a bad experience and just gave up.
Yeah. It'd be heavy for a gal. And kind of pointy-nosed and small tail. It's, I don't know, I had trouble with it too, so what am I going to say? It seems to me like a good-shaped board, you can ride it 40, 50 pounds less than me. You know, you weigh quite a bit less than me, right?
What do you weigh?
245.
Yeah, I weigh 182 this morning.
When I have the COVID, I'm in the wetsuit, I'm probably 255.
Right, you always got to add that 10. That when the shaper asks me, you know, how much you weigh in before you get a board, I never know whether to tell them how much I weigh, you know, naked in the morning, or how much I weigh with clothes on in the afternoon, or how much I weigh with a sopping wet wetsuit.
Yeah.
So it's always a good question. I think you should ask your shaper.
Yeah.
Well, are you talking with the, I weighed my wetsuit before, in fact, because I was curious, and it weighed about 8 pounds when it's like soaking wet. Straight out of a bucket, soaking wet. But you're not always like sopping wet either when you're in the water. You know what I mean? You're always, most of your body's out of the water.
I was wondering though that because my booties have a hole in them and they definitely pull some weight. Like when I have a good fitting booty, I feel better than when I have these booties full. Like as your booties age and get full of water, you're like,
so you got a JS Psycho Nitro.
Yeah,
it sounds like a
JS.
Cypress Hill song. Psycho Nitro.
When you do it that way.
It'd give me a migraine headache, but a migraine Psycho Nitro. Extreme! You drink Mountain Dew on that, right?
Also, no. Also, but all of the waves I have been riding are into this like shore breaky, sandy, and Rockview's rocky. And I touched bottom several times today in Rockview. I definitely pushed the board out from under me a couple of times at Blacks and here, and the Psycho Nitro Poly is fine. It was one of those days where you check your board and you're like, did a fin come out?
Yeah.
So I've lost fins at Rockview. Those FCS2s have like hit kelp going backwards and stupid things. So I bought the little fin screws so that when I do settle on whether I like a tri or a quad, I'll put the fin screws in. But right now I'm experimenting.
Okay.
But I have lost FCS fins.
Do you like FCS or Futures, or do you have a preference?
I don't have a strong preference. I have two sets right now going.
I like Futures just based on the fin box. It just looks cooler and looks more simple, and I don't like the two little dots.
Well, the two dot thing is over, and now they have two slots. You got a vag and an anus.
Good one. I like one big slot.
Yeah, you like one gash.
So now you have the Psycho Nitro, and you're saying it's looser than say your Lost RV, which I have found to be a pretty user-friendly surfboard.
Yeah.
And that's a nice ride. That guy just milked it and did it right there.
Mm-hmm.
We're watching surfers, by the way, and in case you can't tell, there's a pounding shore break in front of us. We're at a nice property too, at the edge of 25th Avenue in Santa Cruz, on the deck here.
don't.
We're stoked.
Don't out her.
Why? Out who?
This is amazing.
So you have your Psycho Nitro, and you were saying it rides a lot looser.
Oh, yeah.
You have a board review on it.
Yeah. This is maybe interesting.
Okay,
so
go.
This is another big guy relevant thing.
Go.
If you watch some big guys, they'll tell you the domesticated series of Lost is like one of those things. Yep. Proctor's on there. If you're really a ninja, you could probably ride one of those Pizel big boards. Like, I was eyeballing the 610 Ghost today.
Right.
Pretty narrow. So I think the reason I picked this up is I had the same dimensions as the Lost. I gave my Lost Stretch RV 6.8 to Jason. I was like, I need something similar. And the only thing that's different besides half a liter or liter is it's that swallowtail. And I think the rails are a little slippier and less maybe hard. They definitely feel looser in steeper surf. So
cool.
My first sessions... taking late drops, which is kind of my MO. I like to not paddle a lot for waves. I like to like let them come, be in the spot, let them grab me, and then just go.
I noticed good shortboarders don't paddle much.
Yeah, I save my arms for the pop-up and the duck diving.
Right.
I really do. I'll even use the current.
That's pretty smart.
And I choose breaks for that reason. Like,
well, you always want to pick the channel
beach,
if you can.
Beach breaks, Rockview, Waddell,
they have a channel. Look at this guy about to get tube. Oh, he's trying so hard to go backside. He almost got it. He went too fast. That's one of my favorite things it's the only way I can kind of competently go left is I just grab the rail and hold on and go
100%.
Low. And you feel like you're in Chopu and it's like a 2 foot wave.
I had to do that
it's
going
so fucking
front
fun,
side because I was sliding so much on this 6.8. Anyway, I put the quad in for the first time today. Oh, bikinis. Oh, hero. Well, that was a nice surprise.
Boom, look at that right.
Yeah.
Backside, no less, on a wave storm. I hate it when guys on wave storms surf better than me.
People on wave storms at the lane that day. I think I already said this.
And they're probably, and you see some guys ripping on a wave storm.
Yeah, but I'm over it. It's just, the aesthetic is all yuck. Anyway.
Never was into it. My point is, they're on a wave storm. They took their dollars not only from a local shaper, but from the surf industry in general. They could have given those dollars to an actual, someone involved. And they're horrible on the environment. And
yeah. I just think on your 10-foot day, that's not the wave storm day.
But then you see guys fucking ripping on wave storms.
That's cool. It's just, they're perfect for this. Like when the conditions aren't great and the beach is breaking into the beach and maybe you don't want to take out your nice board. But like... it's kind of like a powder day. You break out your powder skis when it's 10 foot at the lane. Some style to that.
Have you noticed, apropos of the big day, you're out there at the lane. I've always noticed this since I've started surfing. The guys who are really, there's two categories of people who are getting it in that are getting the best waves. There's Nat Young, Daryl Flea, Ken Collins. There's the local hot shots who have been doing it their whole lives at the slot. They have alpha status, and they get what they want, when they want, on whatever board they want, right? They kill it. And then there's guys on longboards. And on big days, at the lane, I've seen it at the point, on a big fucking day, and I'm there on my shortboard, I'm thinking, it's a big day, I need to have my shortboard. I'm on the inside, and time again, I'm watching dude catch it way in front of me, buzz it. Eric's a good example, he's got 11-foot source glider. It's a big wave board. Ooh, look at, is that Rockview over there? Or what is that over there?
That is the other side of that rock is Rockview.
Yeah. So anyway, did you notice a lot of longboards at the lane that day?
So back to that type of surfer, yes. And this one guy had this huge smile on his face as I was taking the 20 or 30 minutes to fight the current.
Yeah.
I lost my buddy Jason for literally 20, 30 minutes. I was like looking at his yellow leash, which at one point was clear, as we're paddling out. I'm like, that's going to break today. Like he's going to be in cowls and hiking back.
Ooh, I want to surf this right now.
I know.
God damn it.
But anyway, his leash didn't break. He did survive, and we did meet up again 30 minutes later.
Okay.
On the 20 to 30 minute chairlift up the lane to Middle Peak, and there were lulls, but we were just terrible paddlers, and there's current.
Yeah.
And as soon as we get out there, we like cheat inside and then get rocked.
Yeah.
But anyway, on the way back from one of these paddles, very early on, it's barely light. This guy's like, oh man, these are fast waves. I was like, oh, did you get one? He's like, yeah, this is my third one. And he's an old guy on a longboard.
Exactly.
And he's been there at dark 30, actually, yep. like literally black probably right. when he right. went out because there was no moon.
Right.
We considered surfing that night because there was a full moon at night and the swell is coming in.
It's a really pretty moon right now.
But we didn't. We thought we would die.
Right.
Which probably would have.
Yeah.
Anyway, yes, longboards at the lane work well. I think any point break, a longboard makes a ton of sense. And my 11-foot Munoz was amazing at the point.
Huh.
I broke it, or I buckled it, nearly broke it, at the lane on a maybe 6 to 8-foot day. And it was just, it was not even an 8-foot, probably 6-foot day. But I tried to duck dive it, and it's made out of this fragile stuff. The newer surf tech is fragile, TLPC 2. Anyway, still.
TLPC 2, good yeah. knowledge.
Yeah, that was a really, that Munoz 11-foot is amazing. Yeah. Gliders, they're where it's at. It's really great for point breaks like Santa Cruz.
I think, I imagine myself in like 15 years getting a nice glider.
Yeah, that's the most fun on a longboard I have had. I don't own one anymore. I gave it to my brother and he finally broke it in half after like learning how to surf for a year or two on it.
I went surfing yesterday. And I think I told you this already, but I went up to Waddell.
Lucky dog.
Right?
And now you beat the monster swell, right? It wasn't too big?
It was too big.
Oh, it was too big.
Is that what Seth said?
it was like, he said it was putting people over the handlebars.
Yeah, and I was not, if I were with you or with Jason, we would have gone. Or my buddy Eric, we would have gone.
Yeah.
But I was just solo.
Yeah, you need a...
And I was just like... It was just fucking big. And like the guys that were out there were just ripping, right? Yeah. I don't know why. You know, it's probably a flaw on my end, I guess, that I needed someone there to go with.
No, you need
But
a, you
I was
need
looking down at the
almost.
Other, what kind of spooked me was that they're all at the parking lot break. And it read 4 to 5 feet. That's why I was excited.
Right.
And then I get there, I'm like, that ain't 4 to 5 feet. Or that's Hawaiian, you know, that was big. And it was just shredders, but they're all in one spot. Huh. And there's waves up and down the beach, but no one was there.
Weird.
And I was like, I could go here.
Right.
And maybe there's a current or I'll get pounded. Like, I don't know. Like,
right.
So
why
I went
is nobody
into,
anywhere else?
I went back. Look at this guy, dude. I like this guy. He keeps going backside trying to get tubed. Let's see this guy right here. There he goes, taking a left, closing out, straightening up into the whitewash. He gets a 1 point on that. 1 point for making the... If you can pop up, you get 1 point. It's like writing your name on the SAT or something. Okay? So I went down, then I got back in town, and it was totally high tide, and the hook had about 200 people out there at 4.5-foot tide with like 2-foot waves.
Yes.
And I went to Capitola, and I didn't have my longboard, but I sat on the inside of this jetty, and I brought my big wave.
Hey, there's a locust.
Oh, there's a locust board.
Not his usual color template
either.
Paddle
out with a locust board. Locust was another... Tyler Hopkins, he was a guest on this podcast as well. He makes cool boards. That board is a polyurethane core with an epoxy, or rather, other way around. It's one of the two.
That's his new longboard.
He's got a high performance. It's called a butter knife, and then he's working on a nose rider, which I doubt a nose rider's out here.
That is a diamond tail mid-length.
It's a really pretty
board. With a longboard nose. It has it has a quad setup with a big center fin,
yep.
And he's riding it as a single.
Good man.
Very unique. There's a lot of unique boards in Tyler's quiver.
That board, I believe, is poly core with a bio resin that's strong like epoxy. So you have the weight of a longboard or weight of a conventional surfboard, but the strength of an epoxy, you know, outer shell. And more people are doing that. Ashley Lloyd's another one. She does longboards and mid-lengths in that way too. And they're pretty cool boards. Like when you hold them, they don't feel like EPS. Because I don't really like EPS the way they feel. I don't like how light they are. You know what I mean?
I'll do a review on a new tech that I just rode.
Yeah.
So I, not too long ago, acquired a 6.4 Tomo Evo. I had a 6.0 Tomo Evo. And it was in LFT construction.
Firewire,
yep. And I had like been looking for a 6.2, maybe a 6.4. These 6.0s kept showing up. And I owned one and then gave it to Jason. And then another one came up for sale and I bought it again because I really do enjoy it, but it is too small for me. As was the 6.4 Hypto Crypto. They're 45, 44 liters, somewhere right in there. And I'm really a 47 to 48 liter guy.
Hmm.
Anywho, but it had this nice ability to like turn and whip, and it floated enough, and they're really light.
Yeah.
Well, now they have helium.
So helium's a different construction.
And this 6.4 helium came up. It was basically brand new. It's really puffy. It's like a 50 plus liter.
It's made by 10-year-old slaves in Thailand. Keep going.
Yes, but it's very light.
Right.
They didn't like waste a drop of resin. I mean,
right.
Yeah,
they are really light, the helium.
Really light. So my kid loves it.
Oh, cool.
It's, so we have these foamy boards, but as light or lighter than his foamy board.
Sweet. Yeah, because it's so light.
And if it bonks him, it's not quite as like,
yeah, it's not going to knock heavy, you out like a PU would.
Exactly. And that's, it has no pointy nose.
Good call.
Right?
That's
and
a great
if you
idea.
Just take the fins off it, it's basically a big boogie board.
Yeah.
Anyway, he, of all my boards, he's like in love. He went with
Sweet.
Me to go pick it up. We got it from Ebert's kid.
Mm-hmm.
He's selling it for somebody. So we picked it up at the glass shop, BE Sanding in town.
Yep.
And Ebert's kid, who I can't remember the name of, showed us around the shop, and my kids were like getting to see surfing
cool.
from the inside, like the industry inside or whatever.
I like that.
And yeah, I liked it too. And like we do the same thing with bike shops. My kids are really into bikes.
Look at that guy. He just took a beautiful ride. Probably the best ride I've seen so far today. That guy's
isn't that neat? Right, left.
When I picked up a custom Juno that
good,
I since moved, remember that big yellow fish I had shape? But Joe came to pick it up with me, and he was then like five. And Juno took him in, he cut him, sawed off a piece of foam, and, you know, and Joe had all these questions. And, are you a famous surfer in this town? He asked him that. It was cute.
It is cute.
Really cute.
Yeah, there's like a 13-year-old showing, like, five and three-year-old at the time.
I've said this before, but the surfing industry caught me off guard in regard to, like, once I started surfing, I just assumed a board was a board the way a baseball bat is a baseball bat. Like, there's these rote, you know, uniform sizes, large, small, and medium, you know. And you go to Big Five, you can get a board. Like, I didn't know. Like, I just thought it was a basic piece of sporting equipment. But, you know, I quickly learned just how customized it is. And then also, I work inside cabinet shops, and I always like just the one-man kind of craftsman, you know, deal. And it's a big part of surf culture, and it's why I kind of get turned off to the mass production stuff. Not because I'm holier than thou or anything, just because it bites into like what a really important piece of surf culture is that I personally enjoy. Look at that right there.
You know, there's so much room in this industry for all of it, though.
Yeah.
But I think that, I really think that there are going to be shapes mass-produced just like skis.
Yes.
And Firewire,
like skis,
Lost,
right.
JS, like
yeah.
the ones that have been making people win tournaments.
No doubt.
Whose feet are on this? Like it's gonna be that way, and the tech will keep evolving, but there's gonna be like, it's just gonna have to be
Those
that
way. The shapes work.
Right.
The Firewire.
There's certain shapes. The waves aren't changing. The waves are gonna be always what they are.
The Firewires work.
Back to the Firewire conversation.
Yeah.
I've experienced quite a few Firewires. My first was a 7.6 Bamboo Top Advance, which is, if you're looking at the big guy forums, they're like, yeah, you can start with that, but it's huge.
Advance is one of the most highly recommended boards if you want to learn to surf or go down from a longboard.
Yeah.
So like a 6.10 or a 7.2 Advance is a great shape.
So I started with that Bamboo Top. It's very stiff, very thick.
Yep.
I would not buy that board ever again. I wouldn't recommend anyone buy it. Then I had a 9.0 Bamboo Top something, Flex Flight or something. Also didn't like it. It was a little heavy, very stiff, and didn't float enough. It was too thin. And then I had a 9.0 TimberTech, which was a much better construction, but it was 55 liters.
Yeah.
It was a TJ Pro. But I can tell you, having touched all these different constructions in the wrong kind of board for me, that they have gotten better, and this helium is the best
that
I have held in terms of lightness and like texture and flex and whatever, just appeal to the touch and foot.
Yeah.
It feels sticky, it feels bouncy, it feels strong, it feels light. It's not too skippy and stiff.
Yeah.
The Proctors to me felt stiff, except for that Technonaut with their, he puts like tire rubber or something on the sides. But the carbon-railed Proctor felt way too stiff. I think that's why I like the polyboards now, although the Roger Hines was too heavy glassed. I feel the same way about Junod's glassing. It feels thick to me.
Too heavy for you. Yeah, he does a heavy glass. I like that feel.
Right. So there's there's room for lots of taste.
Yeah.
But I do think there'll be a high-performance batch of surfers that are going to want the mass, well... But this custom thing, just like the classic hot rods, like who doesn't appreciate that Garibaldi orange Roger Hines Assassin 70s outline with a modern bottom?
No doubt about it.
Who doesn't appreciate a glass-in keel fish? Like, I got your buddies, and I had a fish. I was like, oh, that one's prettier.
Oh, fuck, that thing's so pretty. That's a wall hanger. I did hear this. I was in Huntington Beach. I surfed with my buddy Ben, who lives down there. And... we were just browsing, we went to every surf shop, we were just browsing used boards and the like. And just went inside a ding repair shop downtown. If you live in Huntington, you know what I'm talking about. It's like it's got a nice signage. And anyway, I just started bullshitting with him and I said, what's the worst, like what boards do you see in here a lot? He goes, no, he unsolicited actually. It was when Rob Machado's Go Fish came out.
Ooh.
And it looked really cool. Or the Seaside, I guess it's called.
Yeah, he had a lot of success with
it. And I was eyeballing it. Like, I kind of was ready to make an impulse buy on it. Like, I just wanted to get one, you know? And,
you're down in Huntington?
Yeah.
That's that's the spot, right?
Yeah, exactly. And, he goes, unsolicited, he goes, whatever you do, don't get this new Helium Tech.
Ooh.
It's for Firewire. He goes,
shoot.
Their fin boxes break out faster than any other board. He goes, I spend 50% of my time repairing fin boxes from these Helium Tech boards.
Well, but, so there's the...
That's there. But it's still performance-wise, I mean...
Well, see, I haven't gone down that path. My son ran that board onto the sand several times with fins in it.
Well, that's killer, you know.
Thankfully,
I think
it survived.
I know I watched Joe, you know, drag my big catch surf around, but that makes a lot of sense. Like to get a little 5'4" or 5'5" grommy like EPS board that they can float on and just carry around, and it's like half boogie board, half surfboard. It's like, yeah, if it was like 18 inches wide or something, they could already reach their arm around it. That's a really good idea, actually.
Yes, with a blunt nose.
Blunt
nose. Soft fins would be nice. Like,
they make those.
It occurred to me, Hunter and the kids like the Ripper look. Like, Hunter already can tell.
Yeah, it looks cool.
Yeah, like he had a big kid come up to him and was like, "Oh, I'll trade boards with you."
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool that your kids are into it.
Well, so I've sold some boards and now I'm buying mountain bikes for my children. Like, literally turned over the $500 for my board and bought a used bike. Because you can't buy new bikes right now. Because everyone and their mother is into biking right now.
You're right. I did buy a new bike for my boy. And he hasn't earned it yet. But I already bought it. And it's at my neighbor's house in their garage. I bought a Specialized Hot Rock. It was $400. It's a nice bike. But spoiled kid. Got a kick-ass bike.
It is a nice bike.
And my wife and I, you know, he wants one with gears. And my wife more or less said, yeah, we'll get you one with gears. And I was like, you know... You don't just get a bike. Like, that's a Christmas thing. That's a birthday thing. That's a something he has to earn thing. So I came up with a way for him to earn it. He still got a ways to go. But it was a really pretty bike. I wanted a bike too. My wife got a nice bike. And right when the lockdown hit, she bought a bike before the rush came. And I'm not a bike guy. But I got my old Giant Rincon from 2003. I was sitting in my parents' garage. And I think I bought it for like $250 brand new when I was at Cal Poly, you know, in 2003 or whatever. And it's all rusty and, you know.
So many memories.
Yeah. And it's all rusty and stuff. I took it into the local bike shop. I gave like $120 to tune it up. They put new brakes on it. Like they made it really clean, man. Like they put a new chain on it, new tires.
That's
like
fun?
A brand new bike now.
I know.
And I don't have suspension or any of that, but I don't need that. I'm not, you know, charging any trails. I just go around the neighborhood.
That's cool. Where's your bike shop? In
Scotts Valley Cycle
in
Center.
In the North Santa Cruz?
Northern California. Hey, you know what I have to do though? Is I do, speaking of timber boards, I'm going to go buy Timber Surfco and drop my board off.
I kind of want to see that scene.
Well, you're welcome to travel to the west side with me if you'd like. I'm going to go drop it off with Ryan. In fact, I got to wrap it up. Get going.
Yeah, I know. Me too. Did you record the fish attack?
Tell us about your fish attack.
Well.
That was a primary topic I wanted to discuss.
Did you record it?
What do you mean?
When I called. Oh, no.
I have your voicemail. Yeah.
Oh. Well, that's all you need.
Yeah, I'll play your voicemail. I'll play your voicemail. No, tell it to us. Go ahead.
Oh.
Yesterday, Jason was attacked by a fish.
Yeah. But I think the voicemail is going to carry better than any other story. But basically, I feel like I'm back. And I feel like I got a little lap dance from this fish.
Nice.
And I feel like that's the ocean telling me, okay, you paid your dues.
Yeah.
You took your licks.
Yeah.
You worked, you know, you woke up early. Your arms are back. And you know what? It's shark season. It's October.
Yeah.
You know, the sharks are coming back. The waves are coming back.
That's right.
That means more of the summer people are going to go in.
Yes.
And the waves are going to get bigger and harder to, you know, to duck dive.
And right.
We're gonna have a good winter, hopefully.
Dude, a good proper duck dive is so challenging.
It really weeds people out of these breaks. Like today, it's been a week straight of surf since last Friday.
I know.
And everyone surfed out. There's three people at 26 right now because everyone surfed out.
Watch this guy body. He wants to body surf on some short break.
This looks like a Kook Slams moment.
I know. Better get my camera out. My duck dive sucks so bad. Like, I'll do the, like, I'll push it down, get the nose down, and I'll put my foot on the tail. But then, like, during the process where I'm kicking it down to change the angle of the board and pop out the back, like, my foot slips off, and then it just turns into me just kind of, like, randomly floating with the board underwater and getting turned sideways and then popping up gasping for air and trying to gather my laurels and do it right the next time. But every now and then, when I can get it down, kick, and just keep my foot, kadoosh, kick it down, you feel that board go whoop, and you slide right out the back, and it's like, oh, I just did a real duck dive like a real surfer.
I got so worked today. This just reminded me of that. You know how sometimes you think you've got it, and then there's this extra sucking power behind the wave?
Yes.
And it pulls you back into the yuck of it, you know, into the crushing, swirling, white, foamy mess.
Right.
I got twice today, once on a duck dive, I was like under it, felt it roll over my back, was watching surf films last night, people letting things roll over their backs.
That's good.
Underwater, you see it.
Yeah, you see it.
I was like, oh, that's me. And then.
That's right. And you just got pulled over the falls.
Pulled right back.
I've been there.
Where I was totally under it and had put like 1% more effort in, I would have been clear.
Right.
And got kind of ego check. And then also, like one smidge, there was no kelp at Rockview today. Tide was so high that there really wasn't, kelp was an issue. Yesterday at 26, kelp was an issue.
Right.
No kelp was an issue, except for this one little fucker that got me on my second wave, and it was going to be a beautiful wave.
Oh no, that little fucker.
It was.
What happened?
I hate him
already.
Well, it was a ledgy part of the wave, and it was very steep, and so I needed to take weight off the front and get very quickly up to my back foot.
Yeah.
And right before I could do that, the kelp caught my leg and took that 5% of planing speed
that
off.
You needed.
And then I was like, okay, fine. I'll let the wave go. Well, I had already been, it was on the ledge of the wave, like just this really steep part of this pitchy wave.
Right.
And the momentum of that wave and the size of it had all this suck.
Yeah.
Even though the wave broke in front of me, and usually you just sit back and go whatever. It just was like,
and
suddenly I was under and in it, and it was 2 feet deep.
And who knows what you look like too? Like, I'm just watching it, like if I'm in the lineup and I see it, like who knows what your board did? Your board might have done a cartwheel.
All right,
you know what I mean? And it's and you pop up and you're like, I don't know what happened, but I need to like disappear from this spot for a minute.
So I wrapped up the board because I did not want it getting smashed.
Oh, good. You held on to your board.
I took three or four more on the head,
good.
Old guy paddles up. Like I was surfing this alone with one other guy today. I got really lucky.
Yeah, I wish I went out there.
And then this old guy and his dad came out and they were talking about, oh, we should have gone north, Waddell, and they were talking about Scott's Creek.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, well, that's a different sport.
Pretty hardcore, yeah.
You guys are, I was like, you can't really shortboard that. He's like, yeah, I take a big board.
Locust just wiped out. That was a horrible pop-up. I just realized this guy is not, he's of my level.
I'm going to lose my thought if I don't.
Okay, go.
Because that's two Modellos
now. Scott's Creek.
Oh, back.
You're out there with the buddy.
Yeah. Like, he's got the, like, surfer guy hat, the white face.
Yeah.
Classic dad. Dad surfer. Are you okay? I haven't had anyone ask me if I'm okay in a while.
Annoying.
I was a little embarrassed. Yeah. And like, it makes you want to paddle away as fast as possible. And I was like, oh, you know what? Thanks for checking. I'm good.
Yeah.
He's like, you were right on the ledge. In fact, I've never used the word ledge before in my life.
Right.
And now I'm calling it the ledge because this old guy has planted the seed. Now, there is a ledge there.
What do you mean? Like, there's a rock ledge underwater?
I actually don't know what's underwater there.
Sorry. Oh, yeah. Locust guy, dude. I'm going to go borrow his wetsuit and board and get some waves. Look at this guy. Ah, that's a nice little.
I have an extra wetsuit.
That was a compliment.
I got three boards in the car.
Do you?
My wetsuit would look like a kite on you, though.
I think I'm good. I didn't budget my time.
You could chunk it. It's hot as hell.
But you're right. In fact, last like five times I've been surfing out here.
No. Summertime.
I'm holding that the water's ice cold in Santa Cruz and you shouldn't come here.
It's freezing. No one should come here.
Exactly.
Especially not in October. There's a lot of sharks.
But yeah, the last couple
times.
Kelp
is a major problem.
That's the truth. But the last couple times, and someone's got to do something about this kelp.
The environmentalists. So many people.
The environmentalists have to eliminate this kelp.
And the air pollution, the air quality, everything's on fire.
Yeah, the kelp, the fires.
Don't come here.
All right. Well, God bless you. Nice talking to you. And let's do it again. People tune in because they like. If you made it through the end of this rambling conversation, then you are.
Champion.
You are a podcast listener of mine, and I appreciate that, and I appreciate you, Jason, and that's always nice.
Yeah, not as nice as a fish lap dance.
Not as nice as a fish lap dance, and we'll leave it there, my man. Do you have anything you want to, leave any listeners? We get about 260 listens an episode, Jason, from Germany to Tokyo, Portugal, Mexico. What do you want to tell the world right now?
I don't have anything important to say. Don't come to Santa Cruz.
All right, fair enough. All right, good job. Thank you, Jason, for coming on again. Thank you for making it all the way to the end of this podcast. God bless you for listening. MidlifeSurfer.com if you'd like to donate. MidlifeSurfer@gmail for any questions, comments, thoughts, concerns, complaints. And rate and review on Apple iTunes. Lazy Surfer is going to hook you up with a free wax comb. And then finally, visit my man Ryan Lynch's website, Timber Surf Co. All wooden, sustainable surfboards. The real deal. Check it out. Thanks for listening. I'll catch you next time around. Aloha, adios, and peace.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.